you need no prayer. You'll find my footprints in the sand. Ooh, in the sand.
God, we thank you for all of the ways in which you carry us. Meet us, oh God, in this place. Speak through the music, the prayers, the scripture, the words. Speak through our presence together. And meet us, oh God, in this place. All that is sacred and holy, we ask this. Amen. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, when sorrow like sea billows roll, Horatio Sapphire wrote that hymn. Wrote that hymn out of not wonderful, great, inspiring worship and life moving along at a fast rate of speed with everything going great. Because you know, when we step into our spiritual discipleship, that's one of the expectations we have, right? I found God! God is good! All the time! All the time!
God is good!
And everything else is too! Horatio might tell you a slightly different story. He wrote this in 1873. 1873. Now in 1871, he was a prosperous lawyer, a devout Presbyterian. Did you even know the Presbyterian church was that old? Well, you good Presbyterians did, right? He was an elder in his church. He was married to a beautiful woman named Anna. They lived comfortably in Chicago with four beautiful daughters. Now, I don't know if you know the history about Chicago, but another thing that happened in 1871 was a fire. And it ripped through the whole city. And one of the things that it did was destroy most of Horatio's investments. Have you ever had everything that you own lost? So a couple of years later, he's trying to rebound, and they've been through a lot, and he says to his wife, let's go on vacation. Let's go to Europe. Now, he was very connected. He was good friends with Reverend Moody. And Reverend Moody was in Europe evangelizing. And so they decided they would go and hook up. Now, they didn't text him to see if that would work for him. They didn't use their smartphone to pick it up, make a long-distance phone call, free of charge. Or Facebook, right? No, they wrote letters. Snail mail, they used to, you know, that used to be the form by which we communicate. Anybody old enough to remember that? So he makes this arrangement and he gets everybody ready, and at the last minute he has a business transaction that requires him to stay, so he says to his wife and his family, "Y'all go on and I'll meet up with you." On the way across the ocean, their vessel was hit by another vessel and sank within a matter of minutes. All four of their children drowned. His wife was somehow, some piece of wood came up underneath her and raised her to the surface, and she survived. After receiving a telegram, Horatio immediately left Chicago to go to Europe to be with his wife. As they were crossing the Atlantic, the ship's captain called to Horatio and said, "This very spot we're passing is where the ship went down." Horatio sat down and wrote a letter to his wife's half-sister that said, quote, "On Thursday last, we passed over the spot where the ship went down in the middle of the ocean. The water's 3 miles deep, but I do not think of our dear ones there. They are safe, folded, our dear lambs." After he finished that letter, he wrote this hymn. "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." The disciples, surrounded by Jesus yet again, this mysterious person who called them from their jobs, so charismatic that they left everything they were doing. Can you imagine that impact on your life? You walk away from everything you're doing now to take on a new opportunity, to make a difference in people's lives. That's a bit unheard of, wouldn't you think? I mean, what do we have to think about if we were to do that? Well, what about my mortgage, and what will my family say? And oh my gosh, I have a party to go to next Friday night. And yeah, but what about my 401k? I'm guessing it wasn't nearly as complicated back then to leave everything. What do you think? I think it's always complicated when God calls us. There's always tension in the midst of that. These disciples left everything because they were so moved by his presence, his ministry, his countenance, the promise he offered to change the world, the experiences of miracles they encountered, people healed, lives changed, even the experience of forgiveness happened. And then what? You know, along that journey, the disciples, when they left everything to follow him, to join him, they had all this really great fantasy working for them. Have you ever left something and stepped into a new opportunity? You have this fantasy about the way things are going to go, and you can't imagine anything disrupting that. That might be painful or difficult. Can I get a witness? Or is this just my life? The disciples join up with Jesus and they're like, "Wow, this would be really great. We could spend all kinds of time with this guy. He makes us feel good. Our endorphins pop. Oh, let's have dinner. Oh, together. The disciples had all of these things they thought they were going to get to do with this man who changed their life, not really realizing that what they were stepping into was a lot of hard work. Being called is a lot of hard work. It has its mountaintop moments, don't get me wrong, but it's a lot of hard work. Serving God is not a piece of cake. Might be tasty from time to time. The disciples got jealous, frustrated. They didn't want to go away to the mountaintop and pray with Jesus. They want to go hang out with him. Hey, let's get some fish. Have a fish fry. Hang out together. They got disappointed. They struggled with the tension of what it meant to be called to ministry, the kind of work involved in changing people's lives, the kind of work that was involved in changing yours. It's invisible to you. But lots of hands and hearts made a difference for your experience of transformation. I think about how this song came out of the belly of sorrow. Can you imagine? Every part of your life as you knew it was changed. Loss beyond your imagination was experienced. And yet, what did he do? He used those moments. Just sitting down and writing a song. I wonder what kind of hymns would come out of our tragedies if we sat down and really put pen to music. Marcia Stevens Pino can tell us what that's like. That's one of the gifts of her voice, is to write music. Think about your tragedy. Think about your sorrow. Think about the pain you've been through. What songs live in the belly of those experiences? What hymns could you write? I'm sure he didn't sit down and write a hymn thinking to himself, well, let me just write something they can sing at funerals for years and years and years and years and decades. He was writing out of his sorrow. It is well
with my soul.
With my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul. Mary Stevenson Senghere's story. The actual author of Footprints in the Sand. How many of you have seen that prayer? This morning we heard it sung. She was born in 1922. Her mom died when she was six. She was one of eight children her father was left to raise. He was difficult on his children. At 16, she married into a bad situation. Her husband went away to the war, and she retreated. She found refuge at an Indian reservation. He came back and took her child because, to support herself, she became a stage performer and dancer at one of those risque pole type environments. She moved to Los Angeles and she met her husband. it said that she found the love of her life. But in those early years, she wrote this poem and passed it out as encouragement to other people. Her name got lost in the process, and other people began to claim that poem as their own. Those were people she gave that poem to support them, encourage them, help them. Can you imagine the betrayal when you find out somebody claimed their name to your work? She tried to get some attorneys to help her, and they told her it wasn't worth it. In a move, she came across the original document. Many years later, in 1980, she came across the original document, and it was submitted for forensic testing, and she was finally named the author of the poem. Imagine what she had to hold in her life. Why all of this with the scripture today? I think about the disciples and all of their challenges, Jesus' journey and all of his, the betrayal, the denial, the heartache, the abandonment, the ways in which Jesus came back to the disciples after resurrection, different times uninvited, present in the room, unrecognized. How many times is Jesus uninvited, present in the room, and unrecognized on our journey? How many times are we carried, not even realizing that the heat we feel is the footprints in the sand rising up? How many times in our journey is there a challenge that we fail to notice the inner strength that lives within us as God moves with us, holding us, carrying us, caressing us, bringing people into our lives to help us move through this? When Jesus ascended, what was he doing?
Blessing them.
He was standing in an act of ministry, blessing. It was an action. He wasn't done. He was still in his calling as he ascended into heaven. That tells me we're still being blessed. We're still not done. Kathy spoke of the folks who created this opportunity for you. Never doubt the people you're creating an opportunity for by what you do in this place, even if it's peeling off a flip top on your brewski. Amen.
Amen.
I wonder if MCC came together, if our church came together and wrote a hymn, what would we draw from? What would rise up out of that? How would that music nourish our souls? When you're going through those valleys, what do you sing in your mind that helps you move through it? What if you began every morning with this song? When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, what would the challenges you and I face be like? When sorrows like sea billows, have you ever been a part of the sea when it's rough? Come on. Have you ever been a part of your life when it's rough? Come on. To draw upon the strength of your journey, of your faithfulness, to know that you are being blessed even in the midst of change in your life. Where is God for you? Are you being carried? So much so that you don't notice? Whatever I face, whatever my lot, you have taught me, O God, to say, it is well. It is well. With my soul, my hunches, if that becomes our song and we sing it to each other, it will carry us through whatever we face, no matter what that might be. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for all the ways in which you teach us, you journey with us. You bless us and wrap us and carry us. Help us, O God, to feel the breath, your breath, on our brow, so close to you that our heartbeat is in rhythm with yours. Help us, O God, to remember that whatever we face, no matter what it is, we never face it alone.